For many of us, it's a constant and continuous pattern where our nervous systems are responding to our internal environment from a place of running from a bear or of threat or danger. And it can be over many different things, right? Relationships, money, work, our mental health or our mental health problems that we are maybe not actually addressing, poor nutrition, negative thinking, lack of social support. There's so many things that cause stress in our lives. But there's also good stress, and good stress is called eustress. If you've never heard that term, it's a form of stress that's actually positive for our well-being, our mental health, and our behaviors. Welcome to She Empowers the Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Kayla Lucas. I'm a mom of two, a family-focused chiropractor, a trailblazing entrepreneur, and a holistic mindset queen. I am on a mission to empower women to lead themselves and their families to greater health and wellness in their personal lives and businesses. Each week, I'm sharing inspiring content that will give you the tools to navigate your own wellness journey, grow your businesses, expand your mind, and take care of the ones you love. This is your space to feel supported, inspired, and empowered. Let's get into it. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back to another episode of She Empowers the Podcast. Thank you for being here. If this is your first time joining in, I am your host, Dr. Kayla Lucas. I'm a passionate chiropractor, a mom of two, a business owner, an avid podcaster, and I am absolutely so grateful that you are joining me as audio in your life today. Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. If you're a repeat listener, just thank you. I appreciate you so, so much. I am so excited to unpack today's topic. We're going to be talking about the big topic of stress and, more importantly, how we can actually thrive in the periods of our lives that are the most stressful, the most demanding, and that require the most of our attention at any given time. I was really reflecting on this because it's a topic of conversation as a chiropractor. I talk about stress with people pretty much every day in practice, and how that stress can be negatively impacting the function of their nervous system, and how to sort of re-navigate how they're doing on their wellness journey and find some practical strategies that they can implement in their day-to-day lives to maintain their health. And so I really wanted to come on and share some of my most valuable assets in terms of health and well-being that I've implemented into my own life, especially in times of really intense stress. And whether it's work deadlines, personal challenges, or unexpected life events, I find stress can just be this constant and ongoing thing that can have a very negative toll on our physical and mental well-being. And I found that some of the strategies I'm going to share today have helped me navigate these periods with a little bit more resiliency and have come out stronger on the other side. And I want to give them to you today because I feel like stress is something that we're very aware of, but we're not necessarily educated in our society on how to find the ways on how to take care of ourselves to mitigate or de-stress our nervous systems. So one thing I want to get out of the way straight away before we even dive into any of the strategies that I'm about to share for staying healthy during these stressful times is I want you to know that as your friend and your empowerment cheerleader is that you deserve to thrive. This is a slogan that we have pasted all over my chiropractic office is you deserve to thrive. I know it sounds a bit corny, but I've had some intense moments of failure and struggle in my life and have come out on the other side. And what I know to be true to the core of my being is that you deserve to thrive. I repeat that to myself. We deserve to take care of ourselves. And I feel like it serves as a good reminder that our well-being is truly of the utmost importance, and taking time for you is absolutely and unequivocally the most valuable part of navigating life and life stressors. Despite our minds may be telling us that we have too much to do, there's too much going on, there's no time for myself, the work demands are too high, my family needs are ongoing. These, you know, are the moments where we just need to recognize ourselves and all that we do and all that we hold space for. And so just take a breath into that and let your mind settle for a moment. I also have to say that we can truly be our own worst enemy when it comes to contributing to our own stress. so many people, and you know, myself included, I'm not a perfect person and I don't pretend to be perfect, but I certainly have a higher awareness of what is good and what is bad. But a lot of us have habits that don't serve us. We eat processed foods. We maintain habits like consuming alcohol or smoking. We're not staying active and moving our bodies. We get ourselves into these ruts of health and we aren't ever going to thrive in these states. So I would encourage you to even just take an audit of your own life and write down on a piece of paper with two columns. One side has habits that are serving me. The other side is habits that are not serving me. And this exercise is not to shame yourself. This exercise is to purely gather data. If you're driving right now or in the middle of doing some kind of task where your hands are busy, just take a mental note, think of five things for each of these categories and just recognize what comes to mind. You know, are you drinking enough water? Do you get enough sleep? Are you adequately practicing self-care? I feel like if we want to thrive in life, we have to be willing to look at what is within our control versus what is not. And there will always be things that we can't see coming, you know, things that are unexpected, people cutting you off in traffic and you having an emotional reaction, or getting an unexpected bill that needs to be paid that you didn't account for. Stress is just part of the process of being human. But I really want to give today's episode more love and attention on what we can do, and dedicate this episode to those that need a little boost, a little oomph, a little spark of love and inspiration on how to maintain your health while you are faced with the bombardment of stress. So as I said, You Deserve to Thrive is in my chiropractic office. And as a chiropractor, I really see stress through the lens of the nervous system primarily. And I find the more I talk to people, the more I understand that we have not educated people on how to manage their stress in a safe and healthy way. The second thing I want to touch on before we dive into strategy is the concept of stress being bad. More often than not, when we hear words stress or saying things like, I feel stressed, it generally holds a negative feeling or emotion attached to it. But I like to think of stress as good and bad. Just like there's good and bad debt, there's good and bad decision making, good and bad days, there is good stress and bad stress. We all know what the bad stress looks like. It's the sensation of feeling overworked, burnt out, overwhelmed, exhausted, fatigued, full of grief, worry, anxiety, you name it. It leaves you feeling jittery and it's harmful to the health, especially if it's chronic. And for most people in today's hustle culture, we have a chronic stress epidemic. It's not like our stress comes and goes in waves. For many of us, it's a constant and continuous pattern where our nervous systems are responding to our external and internal environment from a place of running from a bear or of threat or danger. And it can be over many different things, right? Relationships, money, work, our mental health, or our mental health problems that we are maybe not actually addressing, poor nutrition, negative thinking, lack of social support. There's so many things that cause stress in our lives, but there's also good stress. And good stress is called eustress. If you've never heard that term, it's a form of stress that's actually positive for our well-being, our mental health, and our behaviors. Eustress is a kind of stress that really encourages us to try a new hobby, learn a new skill, kind of step outside our comfort zone. It's the type of stress that makes you feel excited and a little bit nervous and scared at the same time. Think of riding on a roller coaster for the first time. Maybe that is not something that would be a positive stress to you, but for some of us, it's like, yeah, you get up to the top and it's so scary, but the actual ride itself is so, so fun. Maybe starting a new job or traveling to someplace new that you don't speak the same language or you know anybody. These are positive forms of stress. And I believe that stress can be equally serving us. And the key is to find the ways to positively stress your nervous system. Because we know that the negative stress is always going to be there. But I'm going to teach you today how to incorporate positive stressors into your life so that you can maintain your health in any chapter. I want to go back about 4 years ago because this conversation really has sparked from 4 years of change and challenge. About 4 years ago, me and my business partner started our chiropractic business, and I remember us feeling so excited and scared all at the same time. We had so much that we wanted to do, so much that we wanted to contribute and accomplish as entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs. And our tank was so full and excited and ready to go. And we opened our doors the beginning of 2020. And we were just feeling so excited to plant seeds, to make deep roots, to get to know our community members, to call in more practice members, more team members. Like, we were so fired up. And then the pandemic came. And it really just ripped the carpet out from underneath us. And I remember feeling so, so incredibly sad, so incredibly stressed, and like I was a failure. Like, I remember calling my parents and being like, we didn't even start and I feel like I failed and all of the odds were in favor of us. And then this happened. And it was hard to not feel that way during that time, especially as a business owner, and even just surround, you know, seeing our surrounding community, some of the businesses that were open before us having to close. Like, there was so much anxiety and sadness because so much was out of my control. And so I got into some really poor habits, like straight up talk, full honesty. I drank way too much wine. I was buying wine by the case. I've never bought wine by the case in my entire life. I was not sleeping properly. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was emotionally eating. I was scrolling and reading way too much news and media and feeling anxiety over that. And it was like probably a year and a half or 2 years in, I really was in a place where I could barely keep my eyes open past 2 o'clock. I wasn't eating regular meals or adequate nutrition. Like, there was just so many things. My hair fell out. My skin was so dry. I had no energy, nothing in the tank, like feeling hopeless, number one. Number two, just like waiting for this suck fest to pass. And I know that many of us felt that way at the time. But I'm sharing this because although I'm on the other side of it now, I know there is someone on the other side of this mic who is exactly in that place, who is not sure how to find their way back from poor habits or changing their situation, changing their thinking, and someone who is in true survival mode. And so it's kind of full circle that our slogan is "You deserve to thrive." You deserve to thrive instead of just survive. We were in survival mode for the first 2.5, 3 years of business. And on top of being a mom and someone who's extremely passionate and wanting to share love and positivity, that was not who I was. And so I had to bring myself back to a thriving state. And there are definitely more ways than what I'm going to share today on how I did that. But these 5 strategies, these coping mechanisms, these habits that I formed have been my ultimate go-tos. And they are super simple, but they are very impactful. So let's dive in. The first way that I was able to get myself past the point of just survival was reconsidering how I thought about stress and what I thought I could control. And so remember when I talked about eustress or physical stress? The best way to positively stress your body and your mind is to perform some type of physical movement every day. So I call it physically traumatizing my body, not in a negative way, but I'm physically putting my body through some type of stress to be building myself up stronger. I've talked a lot about exercise on my social platforms, you know, on previous podcast episodes. It is one of the most powerful stress relievers that boosts your mood, increases your energy levels, and promotes overall well-being. Like, if you are not moving your body at least 3 days a week, this is your reminder and maybe your kick in the pants, maybe a gentle hug, like, move your body. Like, despite busy schedules, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. Finding time for physical activity is so crucial, especially during stressful seasons. And it does not have to be a lengthy gym session. I am a home workouter through and through. Since I've had kids almost 7 years ago, I've been working out from home for that long, but not consistently until like through the pandemic. I've really had to just get myself out of those ruts. And it is one thing that I rely on. Even short bursts of activity throughout the day can make a huge difference. Now, I remember, and I know when you are in a very stressful point, the last thing you feel you have time or energy for is exercise. Like, I get that so hard. But when you consider what you gain in relation to what you lose, it's a no-brainer. So for the first 4 weeks that I was back to some type of daily movement, and I think I started at 3 days a week. Now I do 3 to 5. Like I always have rest days in my week. I'm not an everyday workouter, but I'm an everyday body movement person. And so I started with 3 days a week. I think I was doing 15 to 20 minutes, and it was hard because my brain was not motivated. My body felt out of shape. I felt really tired. And it was the hardest for first 4 weeks, but I knew that I was also at a point of desperation of changing because I was trying to take care of my kids and my practice members and my team, but I was not taking care of myself. So my alternative was to not do anything. And that felt worse to me than just putting my body through the motions of working out. Over time, though, I really started to notice that I was enjoying it more. I did have more energy, and I had this sense of control over my life that was not present 4 weeks prior to that. So research, there's so much research that backs the science of attitude, mood, depression symptoms, anxiety being positively affected when we move our bodies physically. And it also shows that performing moderate to low impact physical activity 3 times a week can reduce symptoms of subclinical depression and perceived stress. So if you exercise regularly, you are 40% more likely to develop effective stress management skills. Hey friends, what's up? Real quick here. I need to ask you a favor. Over the last year, I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this podcast, and I have a team behind the scenes who puts their blood, sweat, and tears into this podcast to offer you free content that helps you live your most empowered life. We do not do any sort of advertising whatsoever, so what I'm asking is for you to leave a 5-star review of the show either on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform that you are currently using to listen to the episodes. This helps the grand mission of She Empowers to build community, to reach more ears, and ultimately help us grow this podcast. It takes 1 minute of your time, and it is the best act of generosity that you can give back to the show. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in, and thank you so much for helping us reach our mission in reaching more ears, more people, and more empowered and inspired lives. Now back to the show. And so for me, I know that working out regularly on top of all the other things that need to get done in the day can feel like it's not a realistic option. And so through the process of really refinding myself and taking care of myself again and actually thriving in my life, I had to establish some habits that allowed me to stay consistent. And habit stacking, if I've never talked about it, then I'm talking about it now, is one thing that I've come back to so many times. So habit stacking is essentially you already have a habit that's formed, something easy like brushing your teeth. And then when you're brushing your teeth, you're adding a new habit to that already done, easy to do task. So when I'm brushing my teeth before bed, I walk into my closet, I grab my workout clothes that I'm going to be using for the following day. I put my Fitbit watch on the charger so that I reduce any barriers for me to not want to do the workout, because our mood is not always going to reflect what we want to do versus what we've kept the promises to ourselves to do or the things that we're trying on to see if they help us. I save workouts on my phone to come back to so that I don't have to think about it. So this is really important. If you are not moving your body, I find physical stressing your body is one of the primary and best ways to get yourself out of ruts and form new habits. But I really think the key to this strategy is to first find the type of movement that you really enjoy and stick to it, whether it's yoga, Zumba, walking, biking, dancing, swimming, hanging out with girlfriends and doing something fun with them, like whatever it is for you, it's just to find it and actually implement it. The second way that I was able to cope my way through stress, and these, as I'm unpacking these, just know these are things that I still do and that I still rely on, because although the height of the pandemic stress may have washed away a little bit, there's still other stressors that we face day to day, right? Like there's always going to be things that are on our plates that maybe we didn't anticipate, see coming, or that are just our regular rhythm and routine stressors as well. The second thing is get ready every day. Like every day that you are off or on work, get ready. Open up your curtains, let the light in, take a shower, comb your hair. I am telling you, getting ready, especially on your days off, is so important for managing your stress. Like making my bed has become one of my ultimate things that I do in the day. Even if for some reason I couldn't get my bed made before I left my home, I will make it at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and I make my kids' beds too. Like this is so important to have some type of like stability and predictability and establishing some type of structure in your day. Getting ready, starting the day is such an important part. Put your laundry in the wash. Like, firstly, it sets a positive tone for the day ahead. And it also sets the intention that engaging in those personal grooming and dressing in attire that makes you feel confident and put together, it uplifts your mood and your mindset substantially. Really, what's happening is that it's providing a psychological boost that helps combat stress and anxiety. Again, all of this stuff is coming back to the things that that is within your control. So for me, I do all those things. I open up my curtains. I let the light in, even when it's, you know, really bad weather or whatever it is, like whatever weather it is, let the light into your home. Get ready for your day. Put on some mascara, like blow dry your hair and put it in a claw clip. Like whatever it is for you, whatever feels good is really important to come back to. Secondly, the act of getting ready establishes a sense of routine and structure, like I said, which can be really comforting during times of uncertainty or chaos. Morning rituals creates a predictable start to the day, giving you a sense of control over your circumstances, and it promotes a healthy feeling of stability. And so for me in the morning, gratitude is a very big part of my practice. And again, this is not necessarily me hoping that it helps me go through stress. These are daily rituals and routines that help you just set good tone for your day and show up as the best person that you possibly can with what you've got going on in your day-to-day life. Which brings me to my third strategy: protect your routine above all else. When we are under stress, typically, a part of it is that our routine has gone out the window. And God only knows how it feels when the routine is off in life. It's horrible. Nothing goes right. Everything feels chaotic and unstable. And nothing seems to be actually happening the way that we want it to happen. Routine is something that has been ingrained in me from my childhood, and that it has been something that I've always needed to come back to. Why? Because it provides a framework for stability and predictability. Your brain loves to know what's going to happen next. It just does. Have you guys ever heard of decision fatigue? Like, we have to make so many decisions in any given day. Don't give yourself more to make. You know, it's as easy as just having super simple things implemented into your routine. Drinking your greens in the morning, taking your vitamins, taking the dog for a walk, putting in a load of laundry, like whatever it is that makes you feel a sense of ease or a sense of joy, have it be a part of your regular rhythm and routine. It involves practicing those morning rituals or meeting a friend once a month for a lunch date, like a non-negotiable, going to bed at a certain time, getting up at a certain time. You're part of a book club that you don't want to miss. Like, keep these practices sacred. They are yours. And I've really learned that over the last few years that one of the best ways to maintain your routine and protect your rituals is to say no. And this may involve saying no to certain things, which honestly is probably better for our emotional well-being anyways. It just upgrades your standard of what is acceptable in your life. So saying no to some things might be temporary because you need to stay focused on what you have going on in your business and your personal life. Other times, saying no might be a permanent no. Maybe it's to a person or an unhealthy behavior or a relationship or a situation. But it provides you a sense of control, which is especially helpful in stressful situations. I remember during the pandemic when we were kind of just sort of tracking through and trying to survive through everything that was coming at us. One thing that I did not let go of was my skincare routine. Like I still to this day am shocked that I didn't, but it was one of these things in my day that I could get up, do it. Even if I did nothing else that day, it is one of the only things that I didn't let go of, even when I didn't feel like it. And it was this kind of this thing that I came back to. in regards to having a sense of self and having a sense of purpose in my day was like, okay, I did my skincare routine. That's all I really have in the tank for me today, but I did it. So protect the peace and protect the environment that you are in, because it holds so strongly on how you feel in any given moment of your day. The fourth strategy, and this might like, this is definitely one that was not available as much during the pandemic, but social connection is so integral to stress reduction. Find your people. I am telling you from experience, this is one of the most underrated aspects of reducing stress. A lot of the time when people come into the clinic and they have so much stress in their lives, they have no social connection. And we really underestimate what this does to the nervous system and what it does to us as people. I find that when I'm stressed personally, I don't always want to open up about it. I'm just trying to get through it. I don't really want to talk about it. And I think that's okay depending upon your personality type. But do you have people in your life right now today that you can genuinely just be yourself around? I hope that the resounding answer in your mind is yes, if not one person in your life that you can just say whatever the hell you want without a filter, show up in the way that you can in however that looks like, and they just love and accept you for who you are. At the core of our human psyche is this desire for connection. And since we just live so much on our phones and in our minds, especially in times of stress, we can get into the scroll train and we can get into these thought-provoking behaviors where we're not actually communicating with people and we're not actually having a sense of connection with anybody around us. We forget how to find the connection in our lives. Find your people. These people are the ones that you can literally say anything to, who you may not speak to every single day, but when you do, you just pick up where you've left off. I find one of the primary things people don't have in today's society is a sense of belonging. Like, no wonder we're stressed. And a sense of belonging is, it's so essential for our psychological well-being. Social connection provides us with a sense of identity. Like, doesn't it? Like, if I have friends around me, I can better see who I am being. A sense of purpose, a sense of belongingness, which are fundamental human needs. When we feel connected to others and part of a supportive community, we experience greater overall life satisfaction and resilience in the face of the adversities that we are going through. So the sense of belonging, it acts as a buffer against the negative effects of stress and enhances our capacity to adapt and thrive. And adaptation is such a huge part of that, how the nervous system is healing and navigating the environment. Are you able to adapt to the situation that has been put in front of you, whether you've controlled it or not? This is a major part of how we can develop a sense of community, because oftentimes hanging out with the people you love and the people who love you back make you feel better. There's actual science behind this. When we're engaging in social interactions, it triggers the release of different neurotransmitters in the brain like dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin. You've probably heard this before, but they are associated with feelings of pleasure, feelings of bonding, and feelings of well-being. They're neurochemicals. And when we're trying to help regulate our mood and reduce stress and promote emotional resilience, being around people is a huge thing. When the pandemic was at its highest point and we were not able to see friends or family or go to many places and we were in lockdown or we had to maintain a physical distance, I think as a chiropractor, someone who works with their hands and loves to, you know, touch people and bring healing to people and enjoys connection, it was one of the hardest things I ever experienced in my life. I probably hugged my kids so much just to get that additional connection. But we really need to have time allotted in our busy schedules to take time away to spend time with friends, loved ones, members of a supportive community that can elevate our energy, our mood, and really just boost our own sense of well-being and happiness and fulfillment. I think it's also really important to mention that having a therapist or a psychologist in your life is really essential to having that social connection for the moments in the life that need maybe a little bit more attention. I definitely seen a therapist. Yes, it was virtual, which wasn't the greatest, but I did see a therapist through the pandemic, and I still go back to therapy almost on a maintenance basis. And I really encourage people, you know, alongside getting regular chiropractic care, having a regular therapy session. It can be a catalyst in helping us cope with stress. And it also just normalizes us talking about our feelings and navigating the worlds that we're in, because the world is changing at such an exponential rate. Like if you talk to a grandparent or an elder, or someone who's years ahead of you, it's astonishing what they've lived through and what we'll never see again, and how we're trying to navigate all of the new things that are coming at us on a day-to-day regular routine. It almost does feel like it's something you can't keep up with. So I do think that we really need to just normalize this discomfort of our feelings and actually unpacking it with professionals who are able to give us the help and the resources that we need. And the last strategy, this one is the most important, and I kind of touched on it a little already, is just to find a moment for yourself every single day, even if it's 5 minutes. This has been one of the most valuable practices that I gave myself every day through the pandemic. It was my skincare routine. I recently shared a social media post about self-care, and I said that if self-care were selfish, then neglecting one's well-being would be considered noble. And it's such an interesting way to think about it, because so much of the time we are doing so many things for other people. We like forget that we have to give ourselves love and care and attention. And I personally love sharing about self-care because I feel like it's one of those concepts that many people know are very important, but still don't know how to add them into their routine enough, or they only do it when they're at the point of burnout, or they say they never have time. But I've really learned that self-care can take as long as you want it to take. And that has been part of my daily practice, is the skincare routine. It takes 5 minutes to do, and I absolutely love it. But it's also just a moment to see myself in the mirror, see myself and just say, hey, you, you're doing a good job today. I love you. You're safe and you're loved and you're supported and you're doing as the best that you can. And I'm proud of you. Like, we kind of live in a world where that just seems a little bit like, I don't know if I would really do that. Like, I talk to myself in the mirror. I straight up do. If this is your permission slip to do the same, please do it. It is a healthy way to reinforce seeing yourself, because we take in our world through our senses. Part of that is our eyes, our ears. Like, do you see yourself? Do you actually care to take care of yourself? Like, this is a really personal and loaded question, but I really want everybody to take better care of themselves. I feel like if we do that, and if we teach our children how to do that and the importance of doing that, so much of the stress that we face in any given day, in any given month, in any given year can be mitigated and reduced substantially if we know how to take care of ourselves. If this episode resonated with you, as always, please share it with somebody you love, re-listen to it, share it on socials, and tag me at sheempowers.co. I would love to hear the ways in which that you have found have been the most helpful and impactful for you to cope with stress and reduce your own stress. I love you, and I will catch you next week on the podcast. Have an amazing week. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening the whole way through on She Empowers the podcast. Make sure to subscribe anywhere you are listening to podcasts. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave a 5-star review of the show so more women can learn about what we are doing over here? You can also copy this link and share it on your social media and tag me at sheempowers.co. That is the way we get these beautiful messages out to more and more souls around the world. Thank you so much for being a part of the She Empowers community. Until next time, go lead with love and joy.